modern literature, which we have a great interest in. We present great evenings. We feel that really wake up literature and kind of take it from the page to the stage. Philosophy and religion and spirituality is in that mix. The visual and performing arts, that's big to us. A lot of us are from the world of the theater and education and the arts. So music and theater and dance. But it also can include the social sciences of history, anthropology, communication, and cultural studies. And we also like to add ecology, because that's a science and a study that we're greatly interested in as humans. You know, and
it's very important.
Super important, yeah.
And so how do you see this building and this structure being used for the humanities?
You know, it's an amazing room, don't you think, Cassie?
Yes. It's got a really large central space, and then it has a lot of smaller rooms that can be used for a lot of different things. So you could do a big gathering. You could have a retirement party there or a performance space. So I think it's going to be a pretty versatile building.
Yeah.
You can hold classes in there.
We've got a conference room. It's an amazing layout. It's basically a box within a box. The auditorium's in the middle, and then around and about it, beautiful fellowship hall, potential office space, dressing rooms. Should there be, let's say there's a wedding of any sort in there, why there would be space for people to prepare.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So it's got a beautiful structure because it was built in 1924, so it's got this beautiful interior, and we just need to add and enhance what's already there to make it ready for people to come in and use the space.
And really make it, you know, bring it up to code as a public space. And so, as I'm sure many of the listeners know, that sounds cheery but is full of a whole lot of work and muscle to get there. So we have an amazing architecture team, an all-women run and owned business called O Planning and Design Architecture.
Cool.
And they are cool. They have been with us from the beginning, even pre this building.
Uh-huh.
They like our mission. And they have drawn up schematic and now mechanical drawings for this building that are so smart, lean, you know, affordable for us to do our best in a phase one to get this building up to code. The building is already blessed with ADA compliant ramp, though our dreams include ADA compliant bathrooms. We have a wonderful construction company ready to go. And so we're at the heart of a strong and fast and necessary fundraising campaign to raise a significant amount of money to jump in and get this building renovated. And it's really quite doable. We need to get on it because people are so interested in the space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're having open houses. And I know you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we've started the process of beautifying the building. We've been working outside along our public boulevards to dig up the river rock and the old sod that's been there for forever. And we've been working with Friends of Trees, and we're getting 8 Japanese stewardias planted.
Nice.
And it's going to make the biggest difference to that building. Already pulling up the sod and laying wood chips has just made it so inviting to want to look at the space. And a lot of people have expressed a lot of curiosity seeing us work out there and wanting to know what's happening. And so we'll be holding an open house on March 15th while the trees are being planted. So Friends of Trees will be there with a lot of volunteers, but we'll have our doors open so people can come and just see what the inside looks like, because I know a lot of people are curious.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole neighborhood is probably curious.
Yeah.
About it.
And we put on an extra layer of hopefully joy and artistry by not just planting the trees particularly, although that is a fantastic beginning, but we're actually dedicating each of the trees to 8 great citizens who, at the beginning of Ceremon House, the beginning of our dream, before we had funding or a board, we just had a bright idea, believed in us. And so these trees will be officially dedicated to the citizens that stepped forward, both monetarily but also with their heart and energy and minds, to come up with ways to create this wonder or this miracle of, could we, you know, a bunch of working class folk, secure a building, you know, actually bring the building offline from being for sale and online to our mission, try to basically sometimes it feels like being on three trains running, you know, but one is our mission-driven work and our programming, which we can do anywhere, and in fact have done right across the street at the beautiful little venue called the Little Church.
Yeah.
But then also work a program, you know, a financial program to make this building viable, improve everybody's real estate values, actually.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wake up that building that has actually seemed asleep.
Uh-huh.
And which goes to our mission and our name. Our name, Ceremon.
Yeah, Randall, I think you should give a brief description of what Ceremon means, because I don't think I am not a Shakespeare aficionado, so I had to kind of learn where Ceremon came from and what her role is in one of Shakespeare's plays, and I know you will best describe it.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I'm an old expat from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and I was raised, my blessed mother raised me on Shakespeare, and now I teach it. And one of my favorite plays is one of his least produced pieces called Pericles, and it's based on an old Phoenician tale, sea tale, Mediterranean tale of the good prince Pericles of Tyre. The town no longer exists, called Tyre. And briefly in this play, there is a beautiful scene in the middle of it in which a character named Ceremon appears, and she really only appears twice in the play, in the middle of the play and the end of the play. But she is a grand citizen. She's a great altruist. She is a really in-touch, powerful healer.
Uh-huh.
And what she is capable of in the play is that she goes out her door. She lives on the coast of Ephesus in Turkey, present-day Turkey. And a box, or a coffin-like shaped box, has come up on the edge of the sea where she lives. And she says to her helpers and friends, bring this box in. There must be some treasure in it. And they open it, and in it is a dead woman, a woman who is wrapped, almost mummified, who has clearly been thrown off the offboard of a ship.
Wow.
And we know this, as the audience, from the scene before, that a beautiful young princess, the princess, new wife to Pericles, prince of Tyre, has given birth on a boat in the middle of a tragic storm in the Mediterranean. She has passed. They have lovingly prepared her body,
uh-huh.
and they've thrown her overboard. Miraculously, because it's Shakespeare writing it, she ends up impossibly in Ephesus, way the far, far away. And what Ceremon says when the box is opened is, there is still fire within. We must revive her. And they go about, they bring forth music, they bring forth potions of sorts, uh-huh. and salts and rooms, and they indeed miraculously, in one of the most beautiful scenes, I think, in Shakespeare, they bring her to life.
Wow.
And they say, what is your story? And she doesn't really know, because she went through such a trauma.
Uh-huh.
But she, better yet, by Act 5, she is reunited with both her husband and the little baby that was born.
Wow.
And that's the Princess Thaisa. But it occurred to me to name such an organization after Ceremon,
uh-huh.
because of the good nature and that there is always the possibility for restoration in anybody's story,
uh-huh.
that we can all be restored, and that could there be a community center where that,
right.
you know, kind of proudly is the ethic.
Resurrecting an old building to a new birth.
Exactly.
There's fire within.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. They say about raising her, make a fire within.
That's a great story. And on the 15th, is that the same day that you're having the tree planting ceremony?
So going back to our kind of theatrical roots, is on the 16th, when we actually bless these trees, we're going to be doing a like 45-minute to 50-minute ceremony that will include song and storytelling.
Yep, poetry.
Poetry.
It'll feature some of the best actresses in town. It'll be nine women all coming forward into a circle with the audience and telling stories of spring, sharing poetry and
renewal.
Music.
And this is open to the public?
It is indeed. It's a benefit for us, in fact, cool. With a suggested donation at the door. Uh-huh. It should be a beautiful Sunday afternoon event at three, for anyone who would love to immerse themselves in the humanities, frankly. And it'll end with us going out to each tree and endowing them dedicating them to the citizens. And we're really lucky that of the eight trees, six of the folks can be there.
Oh, good.
Which is neat.
Great.
If anyone's interested in attending, we definitely recommend making a reservation, and that can be made at reservations@ceremonhouse.org.
Yeah.
And that's Sunday the 16th at what time?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
So, yeah, the theatrical ceremony is on Sunday at 3, but the open house is Saturday, starting at 1 o'clock, and that's free and open to the public, and anybody can come and check out our space.
And I highly recommend people go check it out, especially if you live in the Alberta area, because it's a great old building, and this will be a wonderful center mm-hmm. for arts and humanities.
Yeah, you know,
the area.
The beauty of the Alberta Arts District, as I get to know it more, is, you know, it tells its own tale, but wildly. There's the wonderful music venue of Alberta Rose Theater.
Right.
I mean, that's remarkable,
great.
Becoming national. There are wonderful local troupes and of circus troupes that live right in the neighborhood and teach and perform their work. And now we can add a space, though not a theater per se, it is a fellowship hall. You know, uh-huh. It was built as a lodge. But if our design work inside is wise, and we really hope that it is, this space can be transformed to everything from a great evening of dance for the public to people's personal ceremonies to, you know, a short run of a lovely one-woman play.
And even from an educational standpoint, it'll be a very beneficial building with the ability to hold classes on a lot of different subjects, have morning meditation or, you know, morning classes
yoga.
That are just kind of a, yeah, to classes that are more specific.
Yeah, yeah, we really want to speak to, you know, we've always said that what we're about is curiosity, that's the education piece,
uh-huh.
creativity, that's the arts piece, ceremony, which is celebration of any kind at all.
Yeah.
But that really what this is all about and what our conditional use with the city even speaks to is community.
Yeah.
And really being live in the room with one another in this era of being distracted and only looking
right.
at our phones.
Yeah.
It's time because the world is spinning quickly and there's a lot going on and the world needs our help. And this is but a whisper of an antidote. But perhaps if we keep our chin up and all assemble, you know, really assemble together in a kind of fellowship that's fun and remarkable by turn, then we're doing the good work.
Yeah. Will you be needing volunteers for any of the things that you have going on or getting this going?
We always need volunteers. we love to find people who are interested in what we're doing and have a willingness to jump in and help out, whether it's, you know, we always need people who have OLCC license to pour wine at an event
uh-huh.
or to be a greeter at the front door, welcoming people into the space.
Mm-hmm.
People who are willing to dig up river rock and help us plant trees.
Yeah.
Not the most fun work, but yeah, it's all still very important and it's all things that help us move forward in our mission. So if anyone's interested in volunteering, we'll always want to talk to you about where your interests lie.
And how do we get a hold of you?
Our resource right now, our contact for the world is our website. And
uh-huh.
we're proud of it. And we know it's got lots and lots of pages to read, but we're tickled when people want to visit that website and stay for a while
yeah.
and click on all the pages. And one of the easiest pages is contact us. And that is basically, it ends up being an email to info@ceremonhouse.org.
Uh-huh. And that website is Ceremon, which is spelled CERIMONHouse.org.
I would actually like to hear a little bit about the theatrical events you imagine to take place there.
Great. I can even tell you about a few we have
done.
Yeah,
some of the things that we have done might give people a sense of
kind
of where some of our focuses are.
Uh-huh. I have a mentee, a wonderful young actor. She's having quite a great career all over the nation, but I was convinced she was a great writer. And sure enough, I said, what would you write if you were adapting a piece of classical story or play into a play that we might be able to then just do a staged reading of, you know, where actors have book in hand, but they're moving through space. And she said, you know, people love Jane Austen. And I said, yeah. And she said, no one's really ever adapted for the stage her final novel, Persuasion. What if we gave that a try and we could put together a nice big cast and it's got great roles for women and we could give that a try? And sure enough, we did. And we went even further to engage a great designer friend of mine, Sarah Gehagen, a brilliant costume designer. And we decided to actually create costumes of the period all made out of paper.
Wow. They were amazing. And if you come to our open house, you will get to see them. They're on display.
Oh, cool.
They're stunning.
I think I missed that when I
They're
came in.
They're stunning.
Yeah.
They're made of paper and buckram and wood buttons, and they are beautiful. And the actors floated through space, kind of rustling, as if they had stepped outside of a book. It was a great example of how we hope to, in a creative way, make an evening very special for people when they come in.
Uh-huh.
It might only be one or two performances. We went on to commission this same young playwright.
Her name's Jennifer LeBlanc.
Jennifer LeBlanc.
She's coming again.
Yeah. I said, do you have a Halloween play in you? And she said, I think I have a werewolf play in me. And I said, well, we believe in nonviolence. And she said, but if we tell the story of werewolves, we can follow it with a symposia on the beast within. And we can have a real talk with our audience about, you know, why are we drawn to horror films? Does it help us work through our own violence? And so she wrote what actually was a far more poetic play than one might imagine. And the talk back afterwards was inspiring to hear about. So those are examples.
And she's written another play about Moll Flanders, which we're going to just be doing table reads in April. That'll be a lot of fun to hear her latest work.
That's an adaptation of the great 1722 novel by Daniel Defoe, Moll Flanders.
That's the other thing. We always have a lot of fun putting together these pieces. Like, there's so much enthusiasm, and we get so many great people from the community who, if people are, you know, buying tickets to go see shows at ART or Profile or Vertigo, a lot of those same performers are coming and doing our salons, which is so fantastic, and so feel so honored to get to work with a lot of those really talented people.
It'll be really great to have this kind of theater stuff going on, like literally three blocks from my house.
We are so happy that we could do that for you. I wanted to also bring up the cultural initiatives. This is where we want to have a reach that goes beyond just even the Portland and the Alberta Arts District. What messages can we say to the world on our website and inspire them to also broaden and be active in their own touch with the humanities? And we have three of them, and one is the Community Portrait Project. We have a great, great photographer who does a lot of our photography, and he began to capture our guests in portraiture, holding up signs in front of them in which they respond visually with a pen to our four C's: community, creativity, curiosity, etc. And that has been really delicious, and you can see some of that on our website. The Closely Knit is a project where we're inspiring folks to knit with yarn they find at home, scarves, simple scarves. Mm-hmm. We'll collect them at Saramon House. We'll package them sweetly, and then we're going to we have already, but it will increase. We will place them around the city at bus stops and in trees and proper places. And basically, they are to be found. And whoever finds them gets them.
Kind of random acts of kindness.
It's a different way of knit bombing. Like, if you ever see people who knit over stop signs,
I know, I've seen that.
You can actually wear it.
It's funny.
So this is especially for folks who could use a scarf in the winter or other times of year. We do live in Portland, after all. And then we encourage people to reach back to us and say, how did you find this scarf? Where did you find it?
That's fun.
And what's your story?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. The schedule of remodeling, will you be open and active through that period or limitedly?
As anyone, I suppose, who has gone under construction at their own home knows, there are always question marks floating about scheduling.
Uh-huh.
In a perfect world, we would be able to continue with our own needs of having board meetings and the occasional civic meeting during construction, but it will be limited. All the more reason that we're hoping to raise the money we need. She's a rough beauty and she's remarkable, and the Masons knew how to build a building. My goodness,
yeah.
It's just great. But we have everything to do to reawaken her, not unlike Thaisa in this earlier story of Saruman. But September will be here very quickly, and we are planning. Our programming will continue, especially across the street at the lovely Alberta Little Church.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways that people can donate.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that in your fundraising. If people wanted to be supportive to your fundraising, do they go to your website as well?
They do. Thank you. Yes. And there are really a lot of ways to go about it. We definitely have wish lists, but we're at that kind of critical and wondrous key, I would call it, a key moment to open the doors, where it really is about money. It is about the donations. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, so it's a wonderful opportunity for tax incentive. We ask in the spring. We do an ask in the spring for donation, tax deductible, and we have a wonderful program that's really beginning to work called the Threshold Society. And this is where we're out and about on a treasure hunt for 250 people who have the ability, you know, the bandwidth, the comfort to give at the $1,000 level. And then we crowdsource that money into helping us continue to run our, run our programming. Concurrently, and of course, any amount at all can be donated at our website. We have a way in which you just go to the donate page and you can donate from $1 to $1 million on there. And you can also, in the great PBS model, give monthly to us in a sustained way.
Uh-huh.
And that is incredibly helpful
us
because we're operating for now on a shoestring. As we
do that here at KVOO.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's a smart way for citizens to do that at a monthly level, at the level in which they are comfortable. And that adds up, and it helps us get through each month. We sometimes squeak through the months, you know, as any great community service tends to do. But we're really, I think, rewriting the way that a good country can become more civilized by doing it in that manner.
Uh-huh.
And Threshold Society is very exciting for folks who are able to donate at that level. And we'll soon be launching a renovation circle for the big givers and indeed seeking out to foundations and other great friends of Saruman House to quickly crowdsource the larger amount of money that's necessary to get that building under construction.
And let's again give the website so people know how to get a hold of you.
It's www.saruman.org, and Saruman is C-E-R-I-M-O-N house.org.
And also the email that you gave earlier was info@saruman.org.
That comes right to us with any questions, thoughts, donations, etc. And then donate@saruman.org or the way to donate is indeed to go to the website and go to that donate page, and you'll find a bunch of live links of the various ways in which you can donate.
And is there also a schedule there of your events, like the tree planting ceremony?
It has information on, if you were interested in any of the previous events that we had listed out, there's information on previous events as well as future events and the times and dates and all that important information.
Well, I want to thank you both, Randall and Cassie, for coming in to speaking with us here at Radio Zine, and so that we could learn all about this. I'm very excited about it, and I wanted to share that with the greater community.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the work that KVOO does.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 11:58 a.m. Coming up right after the KBOO News at Noon, it's Moving On with your host, Don Jacobson. So keep it locked right here and don't miss a single second.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Friday, March 7th. I'm Kristen Yount. The Powell Boulevard excavation project continues to move forward on schedule, according to the Portland Water Bureau. 1,800 square foot trench between Southeast 97th Street and 100th will contain the system that will house the works that lead to the 25 million gallon underground Kelly Butte Reservoir, which will furnish the East Side residents with water. The project is being overseen by the Hoffman Construction Company, which claims to be employee owned and should be finished sometime in the summertime. In Spain, Mayor of Madrid, Ana Botella, asked the Spanish Interior Ministry to limit the number of demonstrations that can happen in the city. Sometimes thousands of indignados, or in English, the outraged, will stay for months rallying and camping in Madrid since 2012 because of shady banking and an unemployment rate that dipped to 27% last year. Over the last 2 years, the Mortgage Victims Platform and Citizens Tide, a coalition of 350 organizations, have formed Taking to Ground Zero, Puerta de la Sol Square. The mayor says that the protests are bad for business. The federal delegation to Madrid sympathizes, but legally, the national leaders can't regulate protests. Civilian-operated drones flying under 400 feet can't be stopped by the Federal Aviation Administration, proclaimed Administrative Law Judge Patrick Garrity. Currently, there are no laws on the books for low flyers. The FAA has been unsuccessful at regulating farmers, photographers, and business people. The agency says that the policy on domestic drone use will be in place by the end of the year. Any appeals to this decision will go to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Wednesday, after 2.5 hours of public comment, three Union County officials voted unanimously to tear down the building in La Grande, Oregon, that houses the only domestic violence service in all of Union County and the outlying areas. Shelter from the Storm serves a population of about 26,000 people. 700 clients relied on the services last year, and many return. The one stop that has a hotline, a food bank, childcare, counseling, and legal service for our victims was built in 1998. It was built from money received from a community block grant in 1995. The county owns the building, which sits on the Justice Center campus, along with the courthouse, the police station, and other public offices. The proximity to these services made it convenient for staff members to walk over with victims to obtain life-saving restraining orders. Shelter from the Store received a $10,000 grant for a sexual assault forensics exam room, which had to be put on hold. County officials made a backroom decision to tear down the building to make room for a $2 million courthouse. Even though the official vote happened earlier this week, staff of the facility were notified on January 15th that they would have to leave and they have nowhere to go. Tomorrow, organizers from Columbia Riverkeepers, the Sierra Club, and hundreds of students will hold a people's hearing against coal exports and rally at Pioneer Courthouse Square. Testimonies will be taken in preparation to collectively ask Governor Kitzhaber to make a decision and stop any future coal export projects from going through. This rally comes right before the Department of State Lands will decide whether or not to approve the permit for Morro Pacific Export Facility. The Morro Pacific Export Facility, that is. And it would be the first of its kind on the Columbia. The rally goes from 12 until 2 p.m. tomorrow, and participants will create a human billboard with a message for the governor. That's going to do it for the KBOO News at Noon. Please tune in every weekday at 5 p.m. for the latest in local, national, and international news brought to you by dedicated volunteers from our Southeast Portland studios.
Tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. for Roots of Rock and Roll. Dale Farr and Steve Bricker play rare and vintage records from rhythm and blues, jump blues, rockabilly, and doo-wop. From the birth of rock and roll to the 50s and early 60s. Roots of Rock and Roll, only on KBOO Portland. Don't let Rupert Murdoch control your newscast. The KBOO Evening News provides breaking news about local issues, from water fluoridation to immigration raids. We bring you daily coverage of what's going on in Portland, Cascadia, and around the world. Tune in every weekday at 5 for the KBOO Evening News on KBOO, your community radio station. We are one.
This Saturday, March 8th, is International Women's Day. Tune in to KBOO to celebrate women's achievements in words and music all day. Our 24-hour celebration of all-women programming begins at 12 a.m. on Saturday and ends at 12 a.m. Sunday morning. Equality for women is progress for all. International Women's Day this Saturday on KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Hood River, 91.9 FM, Philomath and Corvallis at 104.3 FM, and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose, no good to nobody, no good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that. Songs that run you down or songs that poke fun at you on account of your bad luck or your hard traveling. I am out to fight those kind of songs to my very last breath of air and my last drop of blood. I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Don Jacobson, and the program is Movin' On, and I feature contemporary and traditional folk music, and I'll be here until 1:30. Today, I'm going to start off the program playing some music in honor of International Women's Day, which is tomorrow, and I'm going to begin the program with a selection from Hazel and Alice's self-titled CD, and we're going to hear Custom Woman Blues.